This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show is on healing allergies. We've got spring coming. Even all of my friends in the Midwest and on the East Coast is saying, Carol, I'm having 50-degree days, 60-degree days. Then they'll email and go, oh, we got snow again or whatever. But it is the time for allergy season, so I thought what a perfect time to go back and revisit how to heal allergies. However, this time on the show, I'm not going to be really talking so much about allergies as far as how they really impact the physical body, but I thought it might be very interesting since the energy of 2014 is healing on a higher level, is that it may be interesting for me to share with you and my insight, plus my sight on allergies, exactly how allergies impact the energy body, how it impacts the chakra system, and then those hidden psychological contributors which really are a part of the dynamics of allergies itself. So that's what I'm going to be doing today, is I'm going to be sharing a much different perspective on healing allergies than just going in and maybe taking over the counter medications to be able to help you cope with it. They really don't do anything to heal them. They just take away the symptomology. And then also, a lot of people will take shots, allergy shots. Those are much more effective. But what can we do at a higher level, a different perspective on healing allergies? So that's what I'm going to do. And hopefully by sharing this information and really tapping into the energy of 2014, then I'm going to be able to offer insight that will not only help you heal allergies, but by making some very simple changes in your life, then there's a real good chance that you can reduce that possibility that those allergies are going to reappear year after year. I'm also taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about today's topic or anything general in your health or about the energy or whatever's going on in your life, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. Also, international callers, just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. I have a very fun giveaway that I'm launching today on my Facebook page, Dr. Carol Reitberger. I'm actually going to be giving away a 90-minute download of my webinar, Healing on a Higher Level. And all you have to do to be able to really be eligible for being a potential winner in this giveaway is that you just have to post a comment on my Facebook page on the steps that you've taken that have made a difference in your life and in your well-being. So what this does is when you post that, you know, steps that you've taken to improve or perfect or hone or change and your well-being and everything, then what you do is that will put you into the drawing itself, and we're actually going to be doing the drawing tomorrow, April 3rd at, tomorrow, April 3rd at 12 o'clock noon. That's Pacific Standard Time. So again, if you would like to potentially win the 90-minute download of Healing on a Higher Level, then just go to my Facebook, Dr. Carol Reitberger. Put down your comment, and then tomorrow we'll draw and we'll contact you and then offer you that download. Interesting thing about the Healing on a Higher Level download is that I also have a bonus workbook that you can actually use to follow through as I go through the webinar and the information, but it's a wonderful way for you to capture your comments on it and your thoughts on it. But most important, there actually are some things in the workbook that time didn't allow me to go into any depth in the webinar. So it's a great way for you to get to for that freebie for just going on to my Facebook page. Well, an estimated one-fifth of the Western Hemisphere's population suffers from some kind of allergies. I found that number absolutely staggering. And the reason I did as a medical intuitive is because that I know that allergies are directly tied to the functioning of the immune system. So when I saw that statistic when I was doing the research, I thought, oh my gosh, that means that we have a bigger situation, an issue that's going on, and that means that one-fifth of the Western Hemisphere's population also has the potential, which is appearing in allergies, for there to be an autoimmune disorder or imbalance. Now, that doesn't always mean that it's going to end up as an autoimmune disease or disorder, but I found it that it's like, oh, what do we need to do to be able to take care of that immune system, because its job is to protect us from allergens, pathogens, all those different invaders, the bacteria that basically can cause the body to break down and to become ill, and allergies is just one of those expressions. One of the things that I also found is that some of the substances that seem to really trigger the allergy situation is tree pollen. That is certainly something that we're experiencing as we enter into this spring-like weather and everything. I know in California our oak trees are leafing out, and we're having all kinds of pollen from our pine trees up where I live. And so it's a perfect combination for there to be allergies. And what this happens is that when an allergy attack occurs, then the body is repeatedly exposed to an allergen. This causes the body to create an antibody, which in essence is a distress message that's sent to the immune system that says to the immune system, I'm not really sure what's going on, and it doesn't identify it as an allergy. I'm just not really sure what's going on. So immune system, I want you to go out and I want you to find what's going on. If you find anything that is out of the norm, then what I'd like you to do is disarm it. I'd like you to destroy it. And then I'd like you to remove anything, in the case of allergies, any rogue allergen that basically is going to impact the body. In allergy season, what happens is that message, that danger message, is distress message, is being sent by the brain to the immune system, and the immune system becomes what I call hypervigilant, and it just goes on and on and on. It doesn't really slow itself down from trying to figure out what's going on, because your eyes are maybe itching and your nose is dripping and you have congestion in your chest, or maybe your gut is upside down due to food allergies and so forth. So what happens is the immune system is kind of like that ever-ready bunny. It just keeps on going, going, going. That is good news, bad news. The good news is that the immune system is really doing what it's designed to do. The bad news is that it doesn't have a chance to rest and to restore and replenish itself in the way that it needs to in order to do its job effectively. And that's probably the primary problem that I find with allergies, is that it just keeps on going, going, going as far as the immune system. And now the immune system is not only impacting all of the body, but it's not even being able to impact the way that the body needs to, the immune system needs to, for the allergies itself. So that is, I find, is the primary thing, because what I find is that when the immune system becomes weakened, it becomes compromised or impaired in any way, then we have a higher predisposition to those allergies turning into something more, and also becoming chronic, as it sets a pattern in the immune system and how it actually works with allergies. The immune system is a lot like the way that we program the brain, is that when we repeat something over and over again, which is the case of allergies, and maybe it's if it's respiratory or airborne allergies, it's every spring or multiple times of the year, then what happens is that when the brain receives that first indicator that something's going on, it says to the immune system, oh, the allergy's back. And then the immune system actually sets up in its memory a pattern that says, okay, it's back. This is where I need to go. This is what I need to do. But, oh, let me go over, look over here. Let me look there. And then we set up patterns where we actually program not only the brain, but we program the body, the immune system, to actually, without even being triggered, can actually trigger allergies at different times of the year. So it's very much a programming that takes place in the cells of the body and also the cells of the immune system itself. So a much different perspective on looking at allergies. The best thing that you can do is to really go in and really look at the type of reactions that you have. In reality, most allergies aren't really serious. There can be some times where it can be, such as the case if you have food allergies, then of course we're going to have the anaphylaxis that takes place, that's going to basically come in and can be very, very life-threatening. But in most cases, it's like hay fever, it's rhinitis, sinusitis, conjunctivitis, itchy throat, itchy ears, plugged ears, hives, asthma. Now, asthma usually, it will, in the case of if asthma is triggered by allergies, then there is a predisposition that that will become more conditioned in the memory of the body. And in that particular case, if you do have asthma, then it's always a good thing to have your inhaler close by. In the time that your body knows that the allergens are going to be active, your immune system is going to have to work with this, and it's going to cause that inflammation in the bronchial tubes and basically not allow enough air in or out in order for those little alveoli sacs, those little grape clusters, which are such a, you know, integral part of the breathing process, they're not going to become as inflamed as well. So again, most cases it's not serious, but looking at it differently is that we want to, in allergy season, the most important thing that we can do is to be able to protect and support our immune system. And as a medical intuitive, that means really managing stress. It means managing adrenal fatigue, or if you have chronic fatigue, or even if you have fibromyalgia. It's really managing all of those things to be able to help your immune system where it can really focus on the allergen and being able to heal the body instead of having to deal with everything else that's going on in the body itself. Some of the most common forms of allergy are skin allergies, like contact dermatitis, and that's really the cause of something that we really expose the skin to that is a specific allergen. Hives are a skin eruption that actually produces this itchy, swollen, reddened welts. Now, hives are different than the contact dermatitis that we get. Hives are an indicator that something is being compromised within the gut. And as a result, the immune system is doing what it needs to. It's trying to take maybe a food allergy or something that's tied to the food, food that we ingest, that it's trying to push it to the surface. So again, skin allergies can be tied to also candida as an internal effect. A lot of people will get thrush in their mouth, or what they'll do is they'll get what appears to be like a contact dermatitis on the skin itself. So there's a lot of things that we can do with the skin allergies, respiratory allergies. These are really the seasonal things that we get with hay fever and the allergic rhinitis, which is caused by pollen such as ragweed, grasses, spores. And then basically it's allergens that are spread through the wind. There's also nasal allergies such as hay fever that is tied to that allergic rhinitis. It's common cause are grass pollen, pollen, tree pollen, and ragweed. However, what I know as a medical intuitive is that nasal allergies also can be allergies that are triggered by a chronic candida situation, where that candida, the yeast overgrowth, actually goes systemic, and it can mimic allergies. Sometimes in that wheezing that we hear, that rattling in the chest, we may think that it's allergies, but in fact it may very well be that we have candida that's gone systemic. The same when we get sinusitis, when we think that maybe it's hay fever. In some cases it may really be, again, this candida overgrowth that we have going on. So it's really important to, if you are prone to allergies, is to really set up either a calendar or a journal that lets you really monitor, if it's food allergies coming up through the skin, what did you eat? And one of the things with skin allergies is that they can tend to show up within 3 hours, or sometimes it may take 3 days. But that's usually an indicator that something in our GI, our gut, gastrointestinal area, both in the stomach and the small intestine, something's going on that's causing this to come to the surface. Food allergies, of course, I talked about. Now, drug allergies are something that's a little more uncommon. I found in doing my research, one of the most common drug reactions that we know in scientific research is the drug allergy to penicillin. There's a lot of things that have a penicillin-like derivative, such as amoxicillin. So there's things that you can do, and if you have an allergic reaction to penicillin, I personally do, and I have to be very, very careful if I'm going to be taking antibiotics to be sure that the antibiotic itself doesn't have any derivative or even any kind of compound that looks like penicillin, because then I will go in and have an allergic reaction. Some of the other common allergens include sulfas. That tends to be used a lot for bladder infections. The sulfa drugs that bladder infections, one of the primary causes is, if it's not E. coli, happens to be candida, used over overgrowth. And then also anticonvulsant drugs, insulin, local anesthetics, anesthetics, vaccines, estrogen supplements also can cause drug allergies and so forth, dyes that are used in the drugs. So again, it's very important, as I sound like a broken record, but it's very important for you to know what really comes in and triggers your allergy. The last type of allergy that is common is insect sting allergies. And some studies that I did in the research show that people who have other allergies, such as food or drug allergies, tend to be more susceptible to insect stings. And common insect allergens are associated with the venom of bees, wasps, hornets, yellow jackets, and fire ants. Spider bites, in some cases, depending on the species of the spider, can also trigger these allergic reactions. One of the things is that the most obvious is the black widow bite. That actually is causing a severe reaction that is causing the cells around the bite itself to actually go into the death process. And that's part of why we get that black coloring if we get a black widow bite. And people who tend to be have allergic reactions to other insects, if you get bit by a spider, I don't care what kind of spider it is, and you're aware that you've been bit by a spider, the very best thing to do is to go seek medical attention, let them know that what your allergies are, and then be able to be prepared, because what they'll do is they'll give you an antiviral drug, and they will give you allergen drugs that will be able to minimize the impact on the physical body. So those are some of the things that I have found with looking at allergies, just from the scientific aspect and looking at it through the conventional medicine perspective. But what I want to do is I want to go in, and please do know I'm taking your calls, 877-230-3062. Give me a call if you've got something that you want to talk about. Maybe it's about allergies, or maybe it has something to do with your health in general. I'm here. I'm waiting, 877-230-3062. One of the other things that I do as a medical intuitive is I always try to go in and really figure out all of the different contributors to why we experience anything in the human body. That's one of the benefits, I believe, in working with a medical intuitive, whether it's me or Carolyn Mace or Mona Lisa Schultz. And we have a whole bunch of very, very skilled medical intuitives out there who haven't really had the opportunity to maybe get to the place where people are really aware of them. So I would encourage you to seek out a medical intuitive in the community that you live in. And one of the ways to do that is to go to your health food store and ask them, do you know of any medical intuitive, or contact naturopath or homeopaths. And you can go in, and even integrative medicine doctors, many times they'll have like a list of different healers and practitioners that they can actually encourage people to continue to see to be able to help them. But one of the things with a medical intuitive, and we vary a little bit on how we each do our work, we, interesting enough, with the friends and then the people I know have heard about that are medical intuitives, we all tend to come to that same place We just look at it differently based on our own intuition and our comfort levels around it. In my particular case, in my death experience in 1981, it changed my sight to where I'm like this human x-ray machine. I walk around like I'm this CAT scan, SPECT scan, and I'm basically seeing people's auras or auras of plants, animals all of the time. I've had to develop that and learn to develop that to the point where I can do exactly what I do on my show is when I take your calls, is to be able to pick up the vibration of what's happening in your body to be able to bring that information forward. One of the areas that I really, because of my sight and because of my background in psychology, I really believe that a lot of the things, and allergies in particular, have a lot of psychological implications behind it. So these are some of the things that I have found as a medical intuitive that actually is can trigger that psychological distress message to the brain that can cause the immune system to go in and to believe that we may even have a physical allergen that is happening in the body. So the things that I find in the metaphors, because that's the way that the body talks to me, is that a person who tends to be prone to allergies seems to be allergic to everything. In fact, they'll say, you know, I don't know what's going on with me. It just seems like I'm allergic to everything. They're allergic to themselves. There's another metaphor that I find is a medical intuitive all of the time, is that when I say, oh my gosh, you're eating it yourself. 75% of the immune system's function has to do with going in and keeping that gut in a place where the pH is balanced, where we're both acid and alkaline is balanced. And one of the things is when I use the metaphor somebody's allergic to themselves, the metaphor that comes in is, oh, something's eating at you. Let's go find out what's eating at you, because that's causing you to be allergic to yourself. They're not comfortable in their own skin. Something's irritating them. They're eating at themselves over a situation. It's that monkey mind is the Tao calls it, where we just spin and spin and spin, and it causes a reaction where we can't slow it down. That's a lot like a allergy, whether it's respiratory or skin. And they feel like the life is being sucked out of them. That goes in with the metaphor of respiratory allergens itself. They feel like they're suffocating because other people are controlling them. Again, respiratory allergies. They're feeling powerless and hopelessness and kind of a victim of circumstances. I find that that tends to always show up in the skin allergies. I also find that they don't trust themselves, so they're turning on themselves. It's I've done quite a few readings this month in March, and then even the other day, where people were talking about the fact that they feel like they're just self-betraying. And self-betrayal is another metaphor that I find, especially with people who tend to have respiratory allergies. So again, there's connecting the dots here. And then also, a person is overreacting to the stressors of their life. They're reacting to life rather than interacting with life. That's one of the things that I find consistent with all types of allergies, is that they seem to be like that cat on the hot tin roof, doing everything that's urgent and not really doing things that are important, and letting life suck them into situations, eat them up, all the metaphors that I've used, that basically comes in and causes them to be in a reactive state, allergy, versus interacting, which causes the distress messages to the brain to go away. They feel like they're being attacked by other people that they should be able to trust. This has a lot to do with the self-betrayal information that I have found in the metaphors of people who are basically working with allergies. So again, quite a bit of information there. I do have a caller, Steve from California. Hi, honey. How can I help you?
Hi, Carol. Yeah, I've had this cough for about 6 weeks, and I've had a Z-Pak and everything, and I still have it. But I guess my question was it a cold, or is it an allergy, or what is it?
Yeah, it's actually a virus, sweetie, and that's one of the reasons why your Z-Pak really didn't hit it. What your Z-Pak did, so let's tell you the good news of what it did, because it's not something you did wrong. The good news is that the Z-Pak in particular, like it's taken the big guns of We're going to do whatever we need to do. It supports the immune system. It gives it that breather that it needs to be able to calm itself, restore itself in a way that it can build up its immunity again to situations that will happen in the future. So there's a lot of benefit from it. The unfortunate part of and especially the Z-Pak is it changes the pH of your gut in a way that it's almost counterintuitive. It's helping the immune system, but it's also undermining the immune system that can cause candida, yeast overgrowth, to become active. And one of the things that I encourage you to do as I'm touching your energy is to go in and are you doing, let me ask this question first because I really, I'm not picking up that you are. Are you doing any kind of probiotics?
I just started.
Perfect. They haven't kicked in yet. That doesn't mean they're not going to work. Great job.
Okay.
So what it is that in your particular case, it has it's still the remnants. The cough is still the remnants of that virus that you got. But it's also triggered this candida that's gone systemic. That is the cough, sweetie.
Oh.
So by doing the probiotics, looking at things you can do to alkalize, do you do any kind of juicing or anything?
I eat a lot of organic vegetables that I grow in the backyard. But besides that, I have apple cider vinegar in the morning with my water. I don't know if that's helping or hurting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, when I find your body and I'm looking at it the way that I do, sweetie, whenever you get to a place where you don't feel like you're having control, and I don't mean to imply you're a control freak because you're really not, but you like to do things right. There's a perfectionist inside of you that I can pick up. Whenever you get in situations where you don't feel you have control, that's going to set off that dynamic process of the immune system, and it's going to cause it to become weakened or compromised. If you go back and you look at where you were maybe even 4 to 5 weeks prior to this cough coming in, that's going to give you an indicator psychologically where you are. So the apple cider vinegar is outstanding in the water. It helps maintain your balance. It helps keep that gut, and it helps the immune system. One of the things, the reason I'd ask about juicing is that if you're inclined to do that and you have the sort resources to do it, it's a wonderful way that enters the greens, the reds, the orange, and the yellow fruits and vegetables that really have a greatest impact to help the liver cleanse this candida overgrowth out, plus the Z-Pak out, plus the virus out, and it can be of great value. So if I were to put together a concoction for you, it would be spinach. It would be kale. It would be blueberry. It would be mango. It would be a little bit of cocoa, a real good quality cocoa. That doesn't really have to do with the candida. I don't know why your body just said throw in some cocoa. Not very much, but in that particular case. And then what I do is I'd peel a lemon. I would put the lemon in there and juice it. And then what I would also do is, so it's giving me a whole list of things. Let me see which one.
I just made spinach soup yesterday.
Good for you. See, you're already a medical intuitive. That's perfect. So let's work with that. And I'm going to come back because your body keeps saying, oh my gosh, Carol, you're on a roll. Tell them everything else I want. So I'll come back to that. In the spinach soup, one of the things to do, sweetie, is that, do you have any lemons?
Yeah, a whole bunch of them.
Good. So what you want to do in your spinach soup is just squeeze a little bit of lemon juice in it.
Oh.
And then if you want, can you handle cheese? It feels like you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might even want to do something like some Parmesan sprinkles on top of it.
I bought that for the soup.
Dang, you are so good. So that's going to help you a lot. It's going to help your liver. It's going to alkalize you. The Parmesan cheese, the way that it's aged, the type of cheese that it is very good. It's very alkaline, and it will help you that way. So there you go, honey. Oh, the last thing that you're, and when I go back to the juicing, your body was in there going yum, 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 yum. What it said is that also a green apple. If you put a green apple in it, if you look at that juicing or something like that, great alkalinity, and that's going to help you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fantastic.
Yep, so I'm not picking up allergies. I'm just picking up that old darn residue.
Oh, okay.
Well, good. Well, thanks for calling me, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, what I want to do is I want to take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to come back and talk some more about allergies from a medical intuitive perspective, and then take your calls. So I'll be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is on allergies, and I'm really sharing the perspective of a medical intuitive and how I see allergies from that psychological aspect, which is what I shared in the first segment of the show, and then I'm going to be talking a little bit about the energetics of it and how does it actually look in the energy body and how does it map itself in the chakra systems. I always find that that's very, very valuable for people to be able to get a visual of what's going on from a different perspective than just trying to focus on the lungs and trying to visualize what's going on. If you have a completely different perspective, it changes it. And then I also find that if you do any kind of energy work on yourself or on others, then having that information is also a value. I wanted to let you know that I just posted two new events that are going to be happening in Eagan, Minnesota. The first event is on May 2nd. That's an evening of readings where I'm actually going to be doing what I'm doing right now on the show and doing readings and sharing my medical intuitive skills. I just do it in front of a live audience, which is fun on both parts. So I have that on Friday, May 2nd, evening of readings. And then I also on Saturday, May 3rd, I'm offering an all-day workshop on the celestial helpers, learning how to enter into conversations with them and understanding how they serve us. And what I do in this particular class is I go in and I really differentiate the difference between guides and angels. And the message that they give us isn't necessarily different, but the vibration of each of a guide versus an angel is vibrationally different. And as a result, they work with us in a completely different way, even though the message may still be very similar. So I talk about the different guides and angels. I talk about kind of that universal hierarchy, those realms, the angelic realm and the messengers of the God realm, on how to help you differentiate not only the vibration, but the type of messages they bring forward. And the purpose of doing that is so that if you feel like you need an angel intervention, then what you can do is you can call on your angels by asking very specific questions that they vibrationally can relate to and vibrationally hear and be able to interface. And then other types of questions that you put to the guides that have a little, they're really a more no-nonsense, not the warm fuzzy that we find from the angelic realm. So sometimes we need to, you know, bring those angels in and wrap us up in their wings and help us be able to cope with our life or heal our body. But sometimes it's like we just need to go to another level and we need to say, okay, let's cut to the chase. Let's go in. Here's my question. How can you help me? What do I need to do? What do I need to hear? How do I need to act? And then the guides come in and do that. I'm also going to be talking about the differences between councils, ascended masters, also angels, guides, as I mentioned, and oracles, and then also how to open up that dialogue so you can converse with them differently than we are, where we're doing that 911 call. Hi, this is Carol. I'm calling my angels. Can you please come and help me? It's like being really specific. And it's like I'm calling angels, and this is what I need help on, and I'm feeling afraid, whatever it may be. So we actually learn how to be able to talk to them differently. And then also the role that free will and willpower has in that process of being able to really use the messages that we get from them to be able to make a difference, whether it's healing our body or healing our life. And then specific problems. The one thing that I have found with working with the guides and the angels is that the better, the more specific we are, meaning the more clarity we have in what we're asking in our questions, then the easier it is for them to get the message in a clear, concise way, and then to be able to muster up and harness all the energy and all the angels that are available that can help us be able to reach a place where we really desire to be in our health and well-being. So if you want to know more about these two events, then just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then click on the banners at the top of the homepage. I have one for Evening of Readings and another one on the Celestial Helpers. And then just click on it. You can get the information and register online. Also wanted to let you know, on the Saturday, May 3rd, Celestial Helper Workshop, I've actually got an early bird discount that's happening, that's going on through up until April 17th. Instead of it being a $95 cost to attend, it's only $85. So go to my website and check it out, www.ritberger.com. Also, be sure to go to my Facebook, Dr. Carol Ritberger, my Facebook page, and give me your insight into some great steps that you've taken to be able to restore well-being or keep well-being in your body. I've got a drawing that's going to be taking place, a giveaway tomorrow at Thursday, April 3rd at 12 o'clock noon. Once you give me a comment, you become a part of that pool to be able to pull names from, and I'm going to be giving away the 90-minute download plus that bonus workbook on healing on a higher level. What I want to do is I want to jump right in. I am going to be talking more about the energetic analysis of allergies, but I've got Jasmine on the line from New York. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I don't know what's going on with me, but I am so craving sugar for the past 3 weeks.
Okay.
Desperately, actually.
Yes. Yes, yes. And I see that you've got diverticulitis, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go in, and I'm going to look at diverticulitis a little bit different than what you medically know about it. Diverticulitis, as a medical intuitive, the psychological part is there's something sweet that's missing from our life. We're caught in a what I call a syndrome of rote, meaning we do things over and over and over again where we're not even consciously aware that we're doing them. And what that does is it can rob us of the sweetness of life. That's also tied to diabetes, which we're not talking about, sweetie. But what it can do is it robs us of that sweetness of life where we just feel like we're kind of on a treadmill doing the same things over and over and over again. And we're looking for something to be able to satisfy us. The easiest way in the human body is to ingest sugar and glucose. So that's one of the things for you to look at is that look at your life, and you feel to me as I'm touching teaching you, honey, that you've got something kind of below the surface. I could say that it's kind of deep down inside of your guts, basically, excuse me for that crassness, but in your guts that just wants to come to the surface. There's a creative part of you that wants expression. I can feel that below the surface. And if it stays kind of suppressed, like down into the small intestine, and it stays suppressed, then what it does is it basically keeps wanting to come up. And that is one of the metaphors I've also found with diverticulitis.
So, but how do I let it out? Like, I'm, you know, I am meditating, I'm trying to connect and get the places to go, but I'm not getting anything.
Well, and so let's address that one. You're not getting anything because, honestly, your brain is so focused on what's going on in your body and wondering why you're craving the sugar that it's not allowing you to do this. Do you do any kind of journaling?
No.
Okay. Do you do anything, it's called clustering? Have you ever used clustering process?
What is that?
Clustering. I'm going to give you, you can go and you can actually Google it. It's called clustering. What it is that, and you can use this even for the diverticulitis, but there's something creative going on. Put something that you want to do creatively in the center of a circle, in the center of a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And are you artistic? I keep getting textiles. Do you like textiles, color, texture?
No, I don't. The only thing that came to me is that for some reason I want to be a yoga teacher.
Ah,
out of the
okay.
blue. So I don't know if I should follow that, but I don't love it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, it's like I go to the gym and I run, and I could go running every day because I love it.
Right.
Yoga is different, but something is pulling me to that direction.
It's a state of mind. Yoga is a calm state of mind. It calms the body. It stretches the muscles. It just is a different form of meditation.
Right.
But I keep picking up. So let's go in and let's see if I can do this. I keep picking up something creative. See if I can
apply it. I love to cook.
Okay.
And I don't do it much, but,
okay.
You know.
So let's go and just going to go through the process. So in the center of a circle, on the center of a piece of paper, you're going to write the word cooking. And then what you're going to do is you're going to think about cooking, and you're going to start letting words flow with it. Cooking, good food. This is just me, sweetie. It's not you. Mm-hmm. It's good food. Healing other people, taking care of my family, taking care of me. Foods that are natural foods, and it just kind of, this process unfolds. And so what you find is you've got cooking in the center, and now you've got a whole bunch of little circles where you've got yum yum, and you've got good food, and you've got healing food, and you've got this and that. And what you do when you get those circles is then you go and you draw an arrow from cooking to the circle and then back down. What that does is it frees that left brain up from fixating on what's going on in the body and to look creatively to other solutions. You could take diverticulitis. You could put that in the center of it. You could put sugar in the center of it. And you could cluster that. And what it does is it tells a story of where you are in the process and helps move you out of that fixation of the left brain into something more creative. Mm-hmm. So that's something for you to think about, because I know that you want to heal this. I mean, you don't have to be a medical intuitive to know that. You want to also understand what's triggering the diverticulitis specifically. Is there a pattern to it? So those are all the things you could put that in the circle as well. All right. So let's go back to the body. When the body is trying to heal something and trying to find what it needs to heal, it's burning a lot of energy. The cells are burning a lot of energy. Those cells need glucose. The easiest way for us and our humanness to get glucose is sugar. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're craving so much sugar is indicator of two things. You're not getting the absorption of the food you're eating in a way that your body is being able to metabolize it and utilize it to the point where you're getting the energy so your cells are working. So if we have cooking in the center of your circle, then what you want to do is you want to look at foods that are complex carbohydrates, foods that have a natural sugar to them that metabolize slower. So that's how this clustering starts to build off of it. The other part of it is that when we have an inflammation or an infection, which diverticulitis can actually have both of those components, the cells are in that area are going to require more energy, and they're going to be like the biggest baby bird in a nest. They're going to open their mouth. They're going to scream for food. They're going to want it right now, and the best way to feed it is sugar. Mm-hmm. What I encourage you to do is find if there's ways that you can eliminate the sugar. The best way for you to heal is to starve the cells that are asking for sugar. And you can do
hard.
That. It is because it's almost like our brain's going, what the heck are you doing? I can't run on all the cells I need to. You're starving me. I need energy. So our brain is just fixated on give me more, give me more, give me more. Mm-hmm. And we go to take it away. It's like it pulls a temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
So we just find ways, little tiny ways. Today, a little tiny way that you could reduce the sugar today. Things that you could substitute the sugar today. One thing. And then tomorrow, do one thing more. And then tomorrow, the next day, do one thing more. And you'll find that you'll wean yourself all off of the sugar, because what the body is going to do is the cells that are healthy are going to go in and be able to give you the energy. One of the things I found also, sweetie, with diverticulitis is that it seems to be an outcome of a malabsorption of the foods that we're eating. So the foods that you're eating, while they may be healthy, they're not being absorbed or oxidized or even insulin relating, connecting to the glucose in a way that they're giving your cells what it needs. So you might take this creativity that I was picking up, and you might look at creative ways to be able to heal the body and the inflammation, because diverticulitis is an inflammation. There's a wonderful book by Julie Danluck, D-A-N-L-U-C-K, Danluck, Hay House, and you can go in. It's called Healing Foods, Foods that are used to healing inflammation. Sorry, Julie, I just messed that one. Healing Foods for Inflammation. I knew I'd get there. You might want to go and look at that, sweetie, and do a little bit of changing in the way that you're cooking and right now the way that you're eating the types of foods, and that's going to help you, and that will help subside that sugar craving.
Okay, great.
So something just very simple that doesn't have to be real woo-woo that you can just do and do it right now. But just start, sweetie, so you can feel like you're actually – taking the bull by the horns, and you're going to manage these sugar cravings.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling me. All right. So what I want to do is I want to talk just briefly a little bit more about the energetics of allergies and everything. And one of the things that I find when I actually pick up allergies, I always consistently find that they show up in the gut area. That refers to both the upper and the lower digestional tract, and this is the part of the body that's being affected by the allergen. Virtually, the texture of the aura, both at the allergen origin site and the areas affected by the allergy, look like this thick green mucus. And what that does is it lets me know that the gut isn't functioning the way it needs to. It's too acidic, and it needs to be alkalized, and we need to do something. Water. You can use alkalized water. You could squeeze some orange into your water, or lemon or lime. All of those things are alkaline. And what it's going to do is it's going to hydrate that gut. It's going to be alkaline, and it's actually going to relieve that mucus, kind of olive green mucus color that I find congestion in that area. The colors look like a thick motor oil. They're green, they're gray, and they're brown. They're kind of gooey and gummy in their appearance, and it looks like that the aura in that particular area is sluggish. It's like it's not flowing the way that it needs to. I also find that the overall vitality of the aura tends to be diminished, meaning that the aura, instead of being vibrant, big, and fluffy, tends to be much closer to the human body, much closer in that digestive upper and lower and that third chakra and then down into the second chakra, that the aura actually even pulls in more. It's kind of like that area being put in a very, very tight corset and just cinch that up to the point where it isn't able to allow the chi, the energy, to be able to flow through it. I also find that the aura can look lumpy and bumpy, and depending on the severity of the allergy attack, it can actually look lopsided. In the case of someone who has respiratory allergies, if the allergies are really taking over the body and overwhelming the immune system, the aura will actually look like the front in the chest area is just kind of dumping down to the foot area, which lets me know that the person isn't moving the air the way they need to, both in and out, getting rid of all the toxins and the allergens and so forth. So it actually looks not like it's just kind of lopsided, or it's like energetically it looks like it's pulling a person over to the point where they're not being able to breathe really clearly. One of the other things that I find is the immune system being involved, and specifically the thymus gland and the spleen. The thymus gland is part of that lymphocytes that are basically a part. I'm trying to get my brain. I get into this world doing it from this woo-woo part of me, this intuitive, and I'm over there to the left brain. I need a word. I need a word. I need a word. So that I just said I need a word. So the thymus in those VB, as in boy, lymphocytes, cells, hello. So you can look that up. We'll come in, and it helps in finding what's going on, and then the spleen with the natural killer cells comes in and basically takes over. So what I find is when the immune system's involved, what I'm going to find in that third chakra on the left side of the body where the spleen is, I'm going to find this haze that's kind of a dark red-brown and a reddish orange-brown colors that almost looks like it's a smoldering fire. The reason I share these colors is that these are the colors that are indicators that something isn't functioning the way it needs to. And I share those colors so you can get a visual image of not only how it looks in the aura, but of the colors. And if the colors are muddy and they're a dark red and they don't really look healthy, then what can we do? We can actually use color to be able to move that color and the vibration of it into those areas that I'm discussing to be able to change. And some of those colors that I find that are very effective in changing the sluggishness or the immune system involvement in that particular area due to allergies, I find teal, that beautiful aqua, turquoise, kind of a teal, blue, green. That's the highest color of healing that we can ever find in the human energy system. I also find that we'll have a pink, but it's more of a terracotta. It's more of a peachy pink than it is just pink. And that's another color that we can use. We can pull in the color white and just embrace ourselves exactly what we want to bring into that area. That white light encases the body, and it just adds that fluffiness and that healing vibration. It's the combination of all seven colors, and it heals that vibration to a place where we can actually allow the body and the energy and the chakra systems to do exactly, energy body, chakra systems, to do exactly what it needs. And then the other thing, because allergies start in the gut, we want to come in and we want to put a very, very beautiful yellow, maybe a daffodil yellow or maybe a sunshine yellow. And what that does is it restores the vibration of that third chakra in that yellow color. And then the energy body, the chakra system, and then the physical body puts itself back into that restorative state energetically, instantaneously, just by using color, heals that part of the body in a way that it restores it back to its well-being. And then in that energetic state with those colors, then what we can do is we can actually hold those colors in a way where the body, physical body, is able to utilize the vibration to really attune itself back into good health. Now, the energy body, using the chakras, instantaneously heals. That's where miraculous healing or instantaneous healing takes place. The thing with the human body is that it may take longer, and I don't know what that means depending for each person, but it also is what we're working with. It takes the human body to go through a 24-hour cycle at minimum to be able to rid the toxins it needs to be able to, for it, the human body, to start that healing in a way that we get back to better than we were before. So a lot of times what happens is we do a lot of this energy work and, oh my gosh, we know that there's instant gratification and instant changes, but that doesn't always mean it happens in the body. And then if it doesn't happen as quickly as we intuitively know that all this great work we've done, then the brain goes in and goes, well, that didn't work. So what do you want to do now? Do you want to stop eating? Do you want to give up everything? Are we going to eat anything? And that brain just goes back into that fixing the problem, but not even consciously aware or even energetically aware that something is going on. So use color. Color is a wonderful, wonderful way for us to heal. If you actually want to know more about allergies, just go to my website and search on allergies. You have a wonderful week. I'm going to see you next week on the radio. Light love.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.